what is the state of the IG community overall in government, in your view?
I think it's largely in a period of transition. I think you have a whole lot of long-term IGs that, for whatever reason, have decided that they are going to end their career in federal service and bring in a new wave of IGs. And so right now you have a situation where you have a whole lot of vacancies because we don't have nominees, we don't have candidates for those positions yet.
Now you have a list of 12 IGs that have, or 12 agencies that have IG openings at your website right now, and that's linked up through federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
Right.
Are acting inspectors general in place at all the agencies that have openings?
They either have acting IGs, or in the case of the State Department, there's a deputy IG, which is a de facto acting IG. There's a law called the Vacancies Reform Act, which essentially says that an acting official can only be in place for 210 days with a few caveats. So for the ones that have been vacant for longer than that, they have to kind of transition to the deputy role rather than an acting role.
So for the agencies that have someone in that acting role, why is it bad for them to not have a permanent inspector general?
So it's bad for a number of reasons. I would say the primary reason is credibility. IGs don't actually have the power to really force anyone to do anything. They conduct audits, they do investigations, and they make recommendations about action that should be taken. And so in order for action to be taken after those recommendations are made, you really need members of Congress and the agency heads to take it seriously and trust that you are independent, that you're accountable, that your reports are credible and accurate. And the permanent IGs go through a pretty stringent vetting process to ensure that they have all the qualities necessary for a quality IG. The other reason I would say is that leadership is really important in setting a long-term, strategy for the office, because you want to make sure that, you're putting the office in a position where they're meeting the highest risks that that agency faces. So you want to get, if you need to be auditing certain programs, you want to put a certain number of auditors that are, focused on that, and investigators, the same thing. And when you have someone that's in an acting position, they are kind of by definition a lame duck. And so they don't really have the ability to make those kinds of decisions. And so the office is just kind of running in neutral. So they're still doing oversight, but it's just not nearly as effective as it could be.
Now, to your first point there, a kind of a contrary view, we've seen politically appointed inspectors general accused of being politically motivated when they undertake particular investigations. So that's your first point there is not 100% of the time going to go away with a permanent inspector general, especially if it's an appointee. Is that fair?
I think that is fair. And I think what it ultimately comes down to is the individual, and you need a good person in there. And I think as a general rule, it is better to have a person that has gone through the Senate confirmation process that has been vetted. But there are certainly cases where you do have presidentially appointed IGs. The former permanent State Department IG, Krongard, for instance, got himself into a whole lot of trouble because there were allegations that he was blocking politically sensitive criminal investigations. So those cases certainly do happen, but I definitely think it is, as a general rule, in the best interest to have one of the permanent IGs.
I kind of anticipated my next question about permanent IGs, which is, are political appointees better or are career IGs better?
People have different views on that question. So the IG community is sort of split into two. There are the IGs at the larger agencies, which are appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. And then at the smaller agencies, you have IGs that are, confirmed or they're just appointed. There's no confirmation process by the agency. And a lot of them are, career employees that have been there for a long time. And, a lot of people think that they have more independence as opposed to the political appointees, but there isn't really a consensus in the community, I think, about which one is actually more independent.
What about the process for choosing them? We hear in government a lot that the process, the vetting process, is very unattractive to potential candidates.
Yeah.
Is there room for reform in the process of choosing new IGs, or is it just a matter of nominating candidates for the jobs that are open that you have listed on your site?
Yeah, that's a really tough question because, on the one hand, you really do want a pretty serious vetting process. You want to make sure that you have good people because, as you were saying before, even if you have someone that's appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate, if they're not a person of high integrity or of a person that has a lot of experience in auditing or investigating or in the law in general, they're not necessarily going to do a good job. So you really do want to put them through that vetting process, but on the other hand, you want to expedite it and really make it a priority to get them through so that the position positions aren't empty.
In your view, having looked at this for as long as you have, what makes a good inspector general for somebody who wasn't necessarily one at another agency? A lot of the candidates that I see have either been an inspector general or a deputy at another agency. So is it just the ability to perform audits, or are there other elements that make somebody a good candidate to be an IG?
I think personality really matters a lot. Some of the IGs that, you know, when most people think of an IG, they think of a lot of the special IGs, like, you know, Neil Barofsky, for instance, who was at the SIGTARP. And one of the reasons he was so effective was not necessarily because he was, you know, incredible at auditing or conducting investigations, but because he really communicated to the public, to the Department of Treasury, what the problems were at the agency, that they weren't being fixed, and he had a good relationship with Congress that enabled them to then take action off of his recommendations. So I think having the sort of personality that enables you to have a lot of confidence in what you do and to really, you know, speak independently about what's going on are very important qualities.
And that contrasts with some of the IG offices that we've dealt with over the years, where we've tried to engage them and the response is pretty much, we'll let the reports that we put out speak for themselves.
And the argument that they would make for that is, sort of, I spoke to this earlier, that they don't have the power to actually make the agency take action.